In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
With the text for today and with three baptisms, it would be somewhat irresponsible of me as a preacher if I fail to speak upon what water is, what God has done with it, and what God continues to do for His people, for us, and for our salvation with it. So that's exactly what I'm going to do today. We don't usually think about water this way, if we think about water much at all, unless it's raining. But more often than not, in the sacred scripture, what is water? Water's dangerous. In the Bible, water is dangerous. It's a threat. It's much more often the case in the Bible that water is threatening than it is secure and safe for God's people. It's an immense destructive force. You see, the Lord must, He must keep the sea within its limits, within its boundaries. He must set up walls for the water so it doesn't go across the face of the earth and consume everything. For the seas and the deep have great power and great fury. Thus far you shall come and no farther, saith the Lord. And here shall your proud waves be stayed, we have in our Job reading for today. Water in the Bible can also symbolize death itself. If you come on Wednesday evenings to Bible study here, you've looked at the Psalms very closely and you know that by now. Psalm 18 shows the terror of the grave as what? But a great and overpowering flood. The breakers of death encompassed about me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of hell entangled me. The snares of death confronted me, the scripture says. And King David speaks of his own death how? In Psalm 69. Save me, O God. Why? For the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me, says King David. Water in the Bible is also an instrument of judgment and the wrath of God. The great flood being the prime example of that, right? Using water as an instrument of his anger. And later the Israelites went down into the Red Sea that was held in check by what? Only God's countenance. Right? Only God's merciful hand stayed the waters of the sea. And the Lord then gains victory for his people, using the raging waters of the Red Sea to judge and destroy Pharaoh and his army. So I recount all of that to you to say that to be baptized, my brothers and sisters, is to be absolutely and utterly plunged down into all of that chaos and disorder and wrath and danger and death. That's what it means to be baptized. That's what's going to happen today. In other words, the sacrament of holy baptism is a very, very dangerous sacrament. It's by far the most dangerous sacrament that we have in the church. And yet we don't really think of it that way, do we? We think of it as this kind of nice little thing that we do to only children, of course, not men and women, only to children, and they're all dressed in white. Some of them have their clothes on, some of them don't. Maybe some of you missed that earlier. One of our baptismal candidates was taking his clothes off earlier. We used to do it that way in the church, not anymore. But when we look at baptism in terms of the broader biblical picture that we're given in the text of water and the word of our God at work, it begins to stand out as a much, much more serious matter than just that. To be baptized is to be plunged into the water according to the command of God. And it is a command, but being plunged into the water, or as the Psalms would put it, to be cast into the raging deep is not really all that nice and cute at all. In the biblical way of seeing things, baptism is not a nice, warm little bath that easily washes away our sins. It's a life and death battle in the depths of the abyss with real and persistent evil and danger, with the satanic forces that reign and rule in our hearts. Water brings death. To be baptized, then, is to be underneath the water. It's to go down. It's to die and drown outside of the ark. And it's an ugly death. It's thrashing and painful and grasping. It's a struggle of the soul as one sinks down to the bottom. That is part of the biblical picture of baptism. To die in the water. Romans 6, which is spoken at every single funeral service for a Lutheran Christian. St. Paul says, when we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him by what? Baptism into death. Baptism drowns. It kills and it buries us. Now, how cute is to do that to a child, or even three today? Not very. Jonah is thrown into the water and he is saved. But he must first meet death face to face. He must first face the darkness of the eternal depths before the great ark of the fish comes and swallows him whole and spits him back onto the shores of life. Jonah goes from darkness and death to light and life. And God brings him to this place through water. Even the imagery that Jesus uses regarding baptism, that is to be born again, that we had several weeks ago, evokes this powerful and intense and yes, even watery experience of childbirth. For birth is what? But a struggle through water to emerge into life. So to be born again is not so much a beatific spiritual experience as it is labor. It's God fighting through the depths for you to bring to life a creature who has been dead in sin. Now it must be pointed out, and here is as good a place as any to do it, that at the center of biblical baptism is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. To go down into the waters of baptism is to join Jesus Christ in his death. St. Luke even sees the entire crucifixion, the whole Golgotha scene, as a baptismal event, right? You remember that? He says, can you drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism that I must endure. The cross was Jesus' baptism unto death. So looking at it this way, when Jesus endured his crucifixion, death, and burial, he, just like David, let the flood waters rise up and flow over him to claim him as their own. He went down into the diluvian flood, into the Red Sea, into the abysmal deep and angry torrents of sin and dereliction. And you know what happened to him there? He was swallowed whole by them. They overcame our Lord and God. There on the cross, the cords and waves of death entangled him. And our Lord drowned outside the ark of God's holy city. He drowned in the flood of God's wrath over our sin. And when we meet the waters of holy baptism, we meet him there. He is there waiting for us to claim us as his own. We must die with Jesus. Baptism is in no way a dedication of ourselves or a dedication of our children to God. That is not the teaching of the Bible, and it has never been the teaching of the Holy Church. Baptism is God allowing the depths to overtake us, allowing the death of Jesus Christ to enfold us in the water, but only so that just like Peter, he might raise us up with himself to stand with him atop of the great Leviathan, atop the watery abyss of death. Because as our gospel today proclaims, the power of the Lord God Almighty will not be overcome by the waves, ever. The Creator who shuts in the sea and gives us its limits channels the great fury of water, and he gives life by it to save men. But it's not just mere power that the Lord employs in baptism, right? It's resurrected power. It's the power of life himself that he's going to give to these three children. Christ's resurrection is a great moment of baptismal victory because the watery abyss of death cannot ever hold him in, for he is life itself. Jesus' resurrection, if you think about it, it's his exodus out of the Red Sea. It's his Red Sea victory over the Egyptians of sin, death, and hell. And in our baptisms, it's as if God says to us what he said to the Israelites, right? He says, you yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians, to your enemies. You've seen what I've done to them and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You are now mine, and I am yours. Jesus is the greater Moses. He is the greater Jonah. He emerges from the tomb vindicated. He is God's beloved Son who descended into hell to grab a hold of Adam and Eve and all of their sons and daughters and to pull them out of the watery blackness of death to new life on the shores and in the ark of the Holy Church. But you've heard me say this before, but we call this a nave, right? This area is properly the nave. And our church architecture shows that, right? Because if you look up, it looks like the hull of a ship. Because nave in Latin means what? It means navy or a boat. Right? That's why perfect hymn to begin this Sunday off today. To be baptized, my brothers and sisters, is to be crucified with Jesus. It's to be drowned in his death, and then to emerge from that tomb with him, just like Jonah, fresh on the beach, in the new life of the Son of God. And it's here that the Psalms return to our mouths with all of their Christological and baptismal force. He drew me up from the watery abyss of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon the rock. That's Psalm 40, if you want to read it later. And Psalm 124 today, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We look back at the Red Sea tomb, this font of death and life that's in our midst, and we see our deliverance, and we see our enemies drowning there, overcome by what God has done in those waters. The danger and the deadly nature of the waters, however, does not stop for us at holy baptism, does it? It'd be nice if it did, if everything after baptism, if our lives were just fine and we didn't have to worry about anything else and we'd have to worry about demons and false doctrine and all of the cares of this life. But Luther says Romans 6 doesn't just have to do with baptism itself. It has to do with our actual life in Jesus Christ. It has to do with the baptismal life. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions, the scripture says. And it says that because the tumultuous deep comes for us every single day, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Disguised and masked in one way or another, hell and all of its fury does not give up on us so easily. If one thing the devil is, it's persistent. And so the catechism teaches that we should, through daily contrition and repentance, and this is straight from the catechism, through daily contrition and repentance, we should be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Daily, Luther says, every single day we rise in penitence. And I know it's hard to face the depths. It's hard to look at repentance. It's hard to look at this world and walk daily in that life, in the life of Jesus. We must constantly ride the ark over the terrifying flood. We must constantly beg with the apostles for Jesus to rebuke the wind and the sea that threaten us. And we must sink down with St. Peter, calling out to Jesus again and again and again, Lord, save me. Lord, I need you. Put your hand out to me and pull me up. For water kills, and by God, water makes alive. Finally, at the end, the stormy deep will give way to streams of living water to which Christ has guided his people. If baptism is the water included in God's command and combined with God's holy word, then that word must also include the command that Jesus gives to the storm that threatens the ark of his church that carries his beloved when he says to the wind and to the waves, peace be still. It must include that as well. Jesus Christ, the Creator made flesh, is Lord over his creation and all of it, and he bends even the murderous waves to bless you, his children, because he loves you and he will bring you to himself forever. In the age to come, water will only be the water of life for the thirsty, and the good shepherd will lead his people beside that still water. For the Holy Church, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And that river, my brothers and sisters, is the river and the flood of your baptism. In the name of Jesus, amen.